Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered in thy name, that thou wouldst be there in the midst. And as we come before thee, we claim thy presence this evening. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst even give to us that spirit of praise, whereby we might praise thee with all of our hearts. Even help us even to sing these hymns to thy honor and to thy glory. For Lord, we pray in thy name. Amen. Let us worship God by singing together the hymn 520. Go labor on, spend and be spent, thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went, should not the servant tread it still. The hymn 520, we're standing and we're singing the first five verses of the hymn. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the privilege of coming before thee. We thank thee that thou art a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest. And we rejoice that thou art also a rock and a weary place. We thank you, Lord, that beneath thee that we find shade from the trials and afflictions even of life. And we thank thee that thou art that rock that was smitten, and how that the rock being smitten there in the wilderness, there came forth water of life. And we thank you, Lord, that in thee that we find sustenance, we find strength, we find fresh grace for each and every new day. And we thank you, Lord, for drawing us into thy courts this evening, for giving to us a song of praise unto thy name. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst help us even this evening to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast not left us to ourselves or to our own devices, but we rejoice that Thou hast given to us Thy precious Word. And Lord, we ask that as we read it, that Thou wouldst speak to our hearts through it. We pray that Thou wouldst open the Word of God, and that we might each, whatever our background or whatever our situation in life, that we would hear Thee speaking to us this evening. Lord, challenge us. We pray that Thou wouldst also comfort us and that Thou wouldst strengthen us for the battle that must be fought in this dark day. And Lord, we pray to this end that Thou wouldst pour out Thy Spirit upon us even this evening. We think, Lord, of Thy servants serving Thee across the world. We recognize tonight there are parts of the world where it is very difficult and dangerous to stand for Thee. We think, Lord, even of countries like North Korea and China. We think of what's going on even in the Ukraine and churches having to flee because of battles going on there as well. And we pray, Lord, for Thy church, that Thou would strengthen it in the midst of affliction. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help them even in the most difficult of times to display Thy grace and to be good witnesses even unto Thee. So, Lord, to that end, give them a double portion, even from Thyself at this difficult time. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst be with us even here now. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us and help us to praise Thy great name. For we ask these things for Thy honor and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning to hymn books again. We're turning to the hymn 526. I have only one life on this earth, and as a vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. The hymn 526, and we'll stand. We're singing three verses of the hymn.
I must labor
We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to John, and to the chapter 14. John's Gospel, the chapter 14, and we're going to break into the chapter at the verse 5. John 14 and the verse 5. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage, I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Todd, to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, good evening, everyone. You're very welcome along to our evening service. Special welcome to those who may be visiting with us, and I trust the Lord will bless us here tonight around his word. I'd like to give a special welcome to the Reverend Mrs. Crane as well. I'm glad to see you out tonight, and may the Lord bless you also as you've come to visit with us. I'd like to welcome those who are listening in online too, and you're most welcome as you join with us in our worship service tonight. Just a few announcements then for you for this evening. Just a reminder that today is Let the Bible Speak Sunday, and do please keep that in mind as you give to the Lord's work. The midweek meeting will be on Tuesday as normal at 8 p.m, and the Reverend Murray, God willing, will be the speaker this Tuesday. The Beeline meeting is on Wednesday at 7 p.m, and just a note from Mrs. Irwin here, the final meeting of the Beeline Children's Meeting for this session will be on Wednesday the 6th of April, and Miss Christina Logan will be the guest speaker on that night. In this connection, we would really appreciate help from both male and female members of the congregation with the serving of the supper after the meeting. And if you're able to do this, please sign the relevant sheet of paper which is sitting on the table in the entrance hall. Also, there will be a short meeting for the workers of the Beeline after the service next Sunday night. Then on Friday, there will be no youth fellowship here in the church, as our young people will be meeting with local fellowships instead. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school will be at 10:30, and the Bible class as well. Services will be at the usual times of 11:30 and 7 p.m, and both of those services again preceded by the time of prayer, which is held in the committee room. The monthly communion will be held after the service next Lord's Day morning. And as I did this morning, could I just ask that those who are remaining for communion, if you would please lift the cups for the bread and wine on your way into the church rather than after the service, as it gives the men extra time to prepare if extra cups are needed for that communion service. Notice then from Mrs. Murray, due to COVID, we have been unable to have our usual ladies' outings. In light of this, I would like to consider a slightly different outing, keeping it closer to home. The plan would be to meet for a craft afternoon at Sinton's on the Bridge in Scarva on Saturday the 7th of May, followed by a high tea. Transport can be provided. And to see if it is possible to proceed with this outing, could I ask any ladies that are interested to put their name on the list in the hallway? More details and the price will follow if there is enough interest to proceed. Now, Mrs. Murray has to respond to Sinton's quite soon. Could I ask if you are interested that you put your name on that list tonight? It's quite urgent. So if you are interested, folks, don't leave the service without filling in your name on that sheet. And there is a sheet at each of the exit doors. These are all the announcements, and I'll hand the meeting back to the Reverend Murray. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother for making those necessary announcements. Could I also add a very warm word of welcome to the Reverend and Mrs. Crean. It's lovely to have you with us here in the service this evening. Just for your information, consider Christ had not been going out on outreach for some time because of COVID, but the outreach began again yesterday, and they went down to Cavan. And I believe that there were 54 in total, and there were 7 from Lurgan. So Lurgan was well represented. And of course, our bus was one of the buses that were used yesterday as well. They had 4 open-air services, and then they proceeded also to give out literature in the area. They weren't able to get all of the area done, so they will be going back on the 28th of April back down to Cavan. And perhaps you're not able to go, but you can pray, and could we encourage you even to take the seed that has been sown and pray for it, that God will use it, even for the salvation of many precious souls. We're going to worship the Lord again and singing the hymn 190, Hungry Lord for thy word of truth, sitting at my Saviour's feet, rising, cleaning just like Ruth, feed me on the finest of the wheat. The hymn 190, we'll keep our seats for the first 2 verses of the hymn. And the last verse and chorus. We're turning in our Bibles to the portion of God's Word which we read together, the Gospel of John, the chapter 14. And with our Bibles before us, let's just bow together in a word of prayer. And let us each ask for the help of the Lord, and that His Word would run with free course even this Sabbath evening. Our Father in heaven, our cry would be like that of the hymn writer, "Feed me upon the finest of the wheat." We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst open up Thy Word to our souls this evening. We pray that we might hear Thee speaking, not just the preacher. But, Lord, we long to hear Thee speaking. And not only speaking to us, but we long to feel even the pressure of the potter's hand as He would shape us, mold us into that image that He would have us to be. Lord, to that end, I ask Thee for help. Bring to my mind that which Thou would have us to say. And we pray, Lord, give us that liberty that cometh not from man, but that liberty that cometh alone even from Thee. So, Lord, close us in with Thyself. Take away the thoughts, the worries, the fears of tomorrow, and help us to feed upon the finest of the wheat. For in the Savior's name I pray, amen. Amen. The Gospel of John, the chapter 14, and I want to draw your attention this evening to the verse 12. The Lord is speaking, and He said, John 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." In the previous chapter, we find dark and sinister shadows beginning to fall across the Savior's path. Knowing His time was short, He came up into the upper room, gathering His disciples around Him. He told them that one of them would betray Him. Being sold into the hands of His enemies, He would then be crucified. And hearing these words, as you can imagine, the disciples' whole world began to cave in around them, fearing for their future. The Lord, beholding the dark clouds of gloom, He sought to lift their eyes up into the heavens, assuring them that He was going to prepare a place for them. He then urged them not to mourn or to weep endlessly, drying their tears to go out into the world. They are facing much opposition and hatred, not merely to do the works that He had done. Be under no illusion this evening. To have been able to do the works that He had done would have been astounding. But it was much, much, much more than that. He said, greater works than these shall He do. And He promised that Him working through them, that they would do greater works than He had done. You see, rather than merely equaling, we are to exceed the works that Christ has done. We are to be doing even greater things. Sometimes people reading this promise and staggering at it, they try to soften it. I remember reading about a soldier, and coming to his captain, he said, "The flag or the standard has got away ahead of the regiment. Shall I bring the standard back to the regiment?" The captain, looking up, he immediately said, "No, bring the regiment to the flag." And sadly, many, and instead of trying to bring their experience up to the level of the Scriptures, they try to bring the Scriptures down to their level or to their experience. But the Lord Jesus tells us here that if you are a believer, that you're not merely to be equaling the works that he did, but that you are to be exceeding those works. You say, preacher, but that surely is not possible. Then I say to you, read the verse again. Either the scripture is true or the scripture is not true. You see, rather than merely equaling, you are to be exceeding those works that Christ had done. You are to be doing even far, far greater works. If you're not, then, child of God, there is something wrong. There is something missing even in your life. And I wonder tonight, can you say, I am doing greater works? I am doing greater works than he had done. And so I want this evening simply to draw your attention to these puzzling words. I want you to notice firstly here the promise he revealed. While the Lord was going to heaven to prepare a place for them, he assured them that his work on earth was not going to cease, being even more successful. Notice here that there is an explanation here. Girding up their loins, he said in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. When we go back into chapter 5, we find him in the verse 20, talking again about greater works. And explaining these works, he said in verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life. The greater work that he was talking about here was the preaching of the gospel. Because unlike the raising of the physically dead, those who believed would spiritually might be made alive. And being made alive, they would never, never die. They would have everlasting life. And in calling them to do greater works, he was calling them here through the preaching of the word of God to raise the spiritually dead. You see, the work of the believer is greater because it is not the raising of the spiritually dead, but rather it is the raising of the, or the physically dead, but the raising of the spiritually dead. He is, through the preaching of the word, bringing eternal life. Indeed, speaking to his disciples before his ascension, the Lord said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. While beginning with their families in Jerusalem and then going to their foes in Samaria, they were then to go to the farthest parts of the earth. And preaching the word of God, many, many were raised to eternal life. You see, the greater work that Christ would have you to do is the work of witnessing, the setting forth of the message of the gospel. You know, in the New Testament, the child of God is often described as a sheep. But while the child of God is described as a sheep, the pastor is often described as the shepherd. Can I ask you a question this evening? Which brings forth the lamb? You say, preacher, that's a silly question. My, it is the sheep. It is the sheep that bring forth the lambs. It's the shepherd who cares for the sheep, who protects the sheep, who feeds the sheep. But it is the sheep that bring forth the lambs. And so it is in the church. It is the shepherd's job to protect the sheep, to care for the sheep, to feed the sheep. But it is the sheep's job to bring forth the lambs. They're to be witnessing. They're to be telling the great message of the gospel, seeking to bring souls to the Savior. You see, here's the wonder. You can do greater works than the Lord did when he raised Lazarus from the grave. Because while he raised Lazarus' rotting, stinking body from the grave and caused him to live, yet there was a day, there was a moment again in Lazarus' life when he breathed his last and he died again. But my friend, when you preach the gospel and you lead man and woman to the Lord Jesus Christ, they not only live, but they will never, never die. They will never, never perish. And I wonder tonight, are you doing this greater work? Are you seeking tonight to win the lost, to bring them to the foot of the old rugged cross? You see, my friend, there's something better than raising the physically sick. It's the raising of the spiritually sick. It's the bringing of man and woman to the Savior. And I wonder tonight, are you involved in that work? Not only is there an explanation here, but there is an encouragement here. Fearing lest these words would overwhelm them, he then added in verse 12, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." In going to his Father, he was not only going to prepare a place for them, but in verse 16, he said, "I will pray the Father." Ascending into heaven, he was going to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And as such, before they gathered in the upper room, or even before they sensed their need of the Spirit of God, the Lord was praying. And he was praying for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And he was praying for the success of their ministry. You see, in the work of God, we not only have the Spirit, but we have the Son. He is praying for us. Indeed, assuring the Roman believers of their position in Christ, Paul then went on to say in Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The implication here is that the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, unlike our prayers, they could not and they would not be refused. In other words, he had one praying for him in heaven whom the Father would always answer. Indeed, he praying for Peter, even before Peter entered into the storm. The devil was still able to attack him, but the devil was unable to overcome him. You see, as well as dying for us, Christ lives for us. He is praying for you with effectual prayers. I'm sure in your lifetime that you have written many letters. Maybe if you're younger, you say, "Well, no, preacher, I've never written a letter, but I've written many emails over my days." Years ago, instead of my finishing a letter with the words "yours faithfully" or "yours sincerely," they would have wrote "yours till death." However, Christ signs it "yours after death." You see, Christ not only lived for us and died for us, but he rose for us and rising for us. He lives for us. He is there praying, praying for you, praying for me. Maybe you say, "Preacher, tonight I could not possibly witness to my friends. I could not possibly do these greater works of which you're speaking about this evening." My friend, you have one praying for you in heaven. Even before you go to that friend, the Lord is praying for you, praying for words to be given to you, praying for the softening of that individual's hearts. What an encouragement as we go to this work. It's a hard work, but we have one praying for us. Not only is there an encouragement, but there's an escalation here, lifting their eyes to even higher ground. We read in verse 12, "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." The word greater here could equally be rendered more. For example, we read in Matthew chapter 20 in the verse 31, "They cried the more." As such, the particular word used here refers to quantity rather than to quality. Indeed, these words being fulfilled, there were more people saved on the day of Pentecost than there was through Christ's entire earthly ministry. You see, my friend, the best is not behind us. The best is before us. We can see even greater accomplishments in our day. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in John chapter 4, he said in the verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The fields were already white. In other words, the fields, although the disciples at this particular moment in time could not see it, my many were ready to be reaped into the kingdom. You see, Christ has reserved the best for us. We can see even greater things done today. Sometimes people say, you know, "Preacher, I wish I could have lived during the days of Christ's earthly ministry. I wish I could have been there when the Lord Jesus lifted up his voice and cried to Lazarus, 'Lazarus, come forth.' I wish I could have seen him there as he took those loaves and those fishes and he multiplied them." But listen, believer, tonight, these are days of greater opportunity. We can see greater things done today than were done in Galilee, or that were done in Jerusalem. Now, we can see not the physically lame, but the spiritually lame made whole. We can see not ones and twos, but we can see thousands brought to a saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, his hand is not stayed. His power is not limited. And believer, this is a day. This is a day of glorious opportunity. Sometimes we lift up our eyes and we look out there and we see the darkness, we see the blackness, we see the hardness of men's hearts. And we're ready to give up. But my friend, God is able. Someone once said, "We can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because the thorns have roses." You can either be a pessimist or an optimist. Believer, we can see great works done in our day. Do you believe it? Do you believe that his arm is not shortened, that it cannot save? Do you believe today that he can do greater things? That he can save multitudes of precious souls? But not only do we have the promise revealed, but notice, secondly, we have the path he revealed, setting before them the potential for the future. He then drew out a map, showing them how to get there. You notice here the exactness required, assuring them that they could do greater works. He then said in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The word "keep" here has many, many different shades of meaning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it is rendered reserved. It also means to watch or to hold fast. You see, unlike modern love, where children say they love their parents and then they disobey their parents and they disrespect their parents, he said that if they really loved him, they would honor, guard, And most of all, they would keep or obey his every precept. And in so doing, he would do greater works. You see, without obedience, we cannot be overcomers. There must be a hearing, and more than that, there must be an honoring of the word of God. Indeed, the children of Israel crossing over the river Jordan, they come up against the city of Jericho. They blowing the trumpets and shouting, those great walls began to crack, and then they began to tumble. And its walls crumbling, the Lord had said that they were to give the spoils, all of the spoils of the city unto him. But we find Achan going into the city, and we find him taking the spoils, and we find him bringing them to his tent, and we find him burying them there. And taking them to himself, we read in Joshua 7, verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. And while his disobedience seemed to be a very, very small thing, it brought defeat. And with defeat, there came humiliation. You see, where there is disobedience, there will be defeat. Our works will be crushed and they will accomplish nothing. You know, during the North African campaign in the 1940s, the Allied forces suffered a number of setbacks. And as a consequence, the orders coming down from high, they became the basis for discussion. Every soldier thinking he knew better than the general who was away, miles away from the battlefield. He adjusted the orders. He changed them to suit himself. Taking over, Field Marshal General Montgomery said, "I was determined to stop this state of affairs at once." He establishing his authority, the soldiers ceasing to question and commencing to obey his commands. Suddenly, the fortunes of battle were turned around. And instead of being defeated and instead of being humiliated, they drove the enemy back. And believer, if we're going to do great works, if we're going to see our homes changed and our families changed and our neighbors changed, then we need to love. And if we love, then keep the commandments of God. Isn't it tragic today that many people think that the Bible is the basis for discussion? But if you're going to do greater works, there must be a bowing before the Word of God. There must be an obeying of His every command. Has God been speaking to you as you've read the Scriptures? As you opened in the morning, has God spoke to your heart? My friend, then, if you're going to do great works, you need to obey. You need to submit to His authority. Not only is exactness required, but you notice entreaty is required. Going to his father, he said in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The verb ask here is in the second person plural. And as such, it indicates a seeking of the Lord together. Indeed, the apostles meeting as a group in the upper room and praying for 10 days, they then going forth and preaching the gospel, they saw greater works done. They saw hundreds, thousands being broken and saved. In other words, if they were going to do greater works, there needed to be a praying together in His name. You see, superior works come through the work of supplication. It is as we seek Him and as we seek Him together that God moves in power and changes lives. Indeed, speaking to his disciples, the Lord said in Matthew 18, verse 19, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Being two, he was talking here about public prayer. And praying, he said, nothing was beyond their reach. You see, prayer brings power. It enables us to do great works for the Savior. E.M. Bounds said, prayer can do anything that God can do. You don't need me to tell you, child of God, tonight, prayer is hard work. Prayer is difficult work. That's why the prayer meeting is often the smaller meeting. But if we're going to do greater works, we need to pray. And we need to pray not just at home in the privacy of our homes, but we need to pray together. There needs to be that lifting up of our voices and crying in unison for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Oh, believer, guard the prayer meeting. Guard the prayer meeting. If we're to do greater works, if we're to see our town changed, we need to pray. Not only entreaty, but you notice also the expectancy he required. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." They needed to believe. You see, where there is no faith, there is no future. We need to believe that God is, and that God is able. It's been said, pray and believe, and you will receive. Pray and doubt, and you will do without. Do you believe tonight that Christ working in you, that you can do greater works? How often we go out to do a service for the Lord Jesus, and we do that service and we come home and we don't expect the phone to ring. We don't expect someone to knock on the door and say, "I got your literature," or those words that you spoke to me, they touched my heart and I want to come to Christ. We don't believe. We don't expect. Oh, believer, we can do greater works, but we need to keep his commandments. We need to pray. And we need to believe. Believe that he is able. Do you believe tonight that God is able? Able to save that loved one? Even though that man next door has no thought of God and my spurns your faith, do you believe tonight that God is able to save him and to change him? The promise, the path. But lastly, I want you to notice here the power he revealed, telling them to do greater works. He then said that he would pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You notice here that he is another Spirit. Look at verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." In the Greek, there are two words for our English word "another." While one means another of a different kind, the other means another of the same kind. The particular word used here in this verse, it means another of the same kind. And as such, he was saying that the Spirit of God, he would be to them as he was to them. In other words, the Holy Spirit would be to them all that he had been to them. You see, the Holy Spirit, in that sense, he is a similar spirit. He will be to you all that Christ was to his disciples. Sometimes people say, "Preacher, I wish I'd lived in the days of Christ. It would have been easier to stand." It would have been easier to witness with Christ beside you. But my friend, the Spirit of God has promised to be all to you that the Savior was to them. You see, you don't go out in your own. But the Spirit of God will go with you. The Spirit of God will strengthen you. The Spirit of God will give you help. The Spirit of God will give you grace. Not only is he another Spirit, but you notice he is an abiding Spirit. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The word "abide" there means to dwell permanently with. You see, the Holy Spirit does not merely lodge, but he lives within the believer. He never leaves him. There was a time when tragedy came into the home of Mary and Martha. They sent word for the Lord, but the Lord didn't come at that time. He went in another direction. We can never say that about the Spirit of God. He dwells permanently within our hearts, within our lives. You see, as far as the Spirit of God is concerned, your heart is not a hotel with a check-out time. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. He's always there. Sometimes we, by our actions, grieve him. And sometimes by our actions, we hurt him. But he's there. Oh, believer, we don't go on our own. My, we have the Spirit of God. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will be to us all that Christ was to his disciples. More than that, he is an aiding Spirit, because the word "comforter" here comes from two Latin words. While the first means alongside of, the second indicates strength. In other words, coming alongside of them, he would strengthen them. You see, the Spirit of God not only smites the sinner and saves the sinner, but he supports the believer. Coming alongside, he strengthens him. He strengthens him to stand. He strengthens him to pray. He strengthens him to speak. And you know, if only you look, he will strengthen you. Oh, believer, what a challenge. What an encouragement. We can do greater works. But we're not left to our own. He has given us the Spirit of God that we might preach, that we might present the message of the gospel. You know, two men after a meeting, they leaving the meeting in which a person was saved, one of them said, "Well, I think God was pleased with what happened here." And the other man said, "He ought to be. He did it." And while it is the Lord that does the work, he does it through his people. And if only you pray, and if only you obey, and if only you go forth, we can do greater works. Greater works. The world marvels when they see a sick person, supposedly through some type of charm, made whole. But my friend, even if they were healed, they will die again. But through the gospel, we can see men made alive, and made alive forevermore. This is the greater work that Christ has called us to. And we must support men in their need. We think of countries where people are hungry and dying. And yes, it's right. It's right that we support them. It's right that we seek to give them bread. But listen, if that's all that we do, all we do is make them fat for hell. That's all we do. But we can do greater works. We can give to them the bread of life. And we can see them made spiritually alive. so that they never, never will die again. What a privilege, believer, to present the gospel. What a privilege to go to our neighbor and tell them of Christ, who is mighty to save, who's able to make their life worth living, who's able to save and to keep them. Oh, may we go and do these greater works and seek to see men and women brought to faith, to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to close our service tonight by singing together the words of the hymn 523, the challenging words of that hymn. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. The hymn 523 will stand, and we're singing three verses of the hymn. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we might never lose sight of the fact that the night is coming. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to labor day by day, even as we're reminded this morning that men and women are going out into eternity. Even since we have gathered here this evening, souls have gone to stand before the judgment throne. And our Father, we cry to thee that thou wouldst enable us, equip us, to rescue the perishing and to bring honor and glory to your great name. So, Lord, part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Help us, Lord, this week to live for thee, for we pray in thy name. Amen. Amen.